Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Son, I'm looking for Henry Ruhlenfurter.
Raffenbuser.
Rosenbagger.
Gartenhoser.
Hey, way to go, Runnemucker.
Ruhlengruder. Come on.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Very happy to be back with you, as always, on this Sunday evening. If you have not yet, please do subscribe to HMB Radio Tampa Bay on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your pods, even if you listen on Radio St. Pete. Leave it a 5-star rating while you're there. It really helped me out. It only takes 1 second. All right, maybe a few seconds to do, and I appreciate you for taking the time to do it. I still do have some magnets that I got in, which are pretty cool. I got the stickers and all that stuff, and I want to give some to you. So hit me up on email at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com or on Instagram and Twitter. You can DM me at home_made_man. Send me your mailing address, and I will put some of those things in the mail for you to say thanks for being you and listening to this show. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. It is open 24/7, 365. If you have something to say, I want to hear it. So give me a shout, 813-693-2124. I hope you're having a good week. It's been exhausting. I feel like I'm finally back in, you know, the swing of things now. We're getting to the end of, you know, January. We're heading into February. It's cold out now. I don't like this Florida thing that it does where it's cold, freezing cold for a day, and then it's 80 degrees. Okay, maybe not 80, but, you know, it's warm again the next day. That's the perfect conditions to get sick. And I really can't stand it. But I think February, it's going to be, like, more steady, I think, if that's the pattern that I remember correctly. I don't know. So we had the Covington Catholic incident that happened a few weeks ago now that is still kind of in the news. I think it's kind of dead now, thankfully, I guess. And what did we learn from that experience? Absolutely nothing, unfortunately. It's still a tribal issue. Depending on where you sit on the political spectrum, you're going to blame that person, I guess. It seems like there's an objective truth there that nobody really wants to face. Well, some people, anyways. But, you know, those kids are suing everybody. They're gonna go after all the blue check marks on Twitter, and I hope they win, frankly, because this is absurd at this point. So, you know, and then we go into a new week, and then there's another hate crime incident, this time involving a celebrity. Jussie Smollett is an actor. He's on some show on, I don't know, what, Fame or something, I think it's called. I don't know, but it's on TV. I don't have cable anymore. Not bragging, just saying, I don't know who does have cable anymore, who watches TV anymore, really, if it's not Netflix. But he's on a show, and apparently it's a very popular show. And he got, he was in Chicago the other night. It was late night in downtown Chicago. He was eating this, eating some at some Subway, apparently, delicious, and 2 o'clock in the morning. When the story, his story is that he got accosted for being a black man and also gay in Chicago, Illinois. And the people allegedly said to him, you know, beat him up and then said slurs to him and said that, quote, this is MAGA country. That seems bizarre to me automatically. Chicago is one of the most liberal cities in the country. Not that it can't happen. But it is one of the most left-leaning cities in the country, for sure. So saying that is weird anyways. So the story was is that he called the cops and gave him a statement. He asked that the officers turn off their body cams while he gave his statement. He left a rope that was apparently tied around his neck still there when the cops got there to take his story. The police are searching ferociously. To find these men who accosted this guy and beat him up. It's a terrible thing that happened to him. And the media pounced all over it right away and just started saying that ABC reported that if this was, in fact, the case, that some, you know, white men wearing MAGA hats beat this guy up. I don't know if they corrected that story yet or not. But as of today, when I'm recording this podcast, it's looking more and more like it's a fraud, that it just didn't happen. Now, he might have got beat up, but it wasn't the way he said it went down. Major publications jumped all over this. GQ wrote a story about how nobody is safe, no person of color is safe in this country, and this just proves it. But reports are saying Rafer Weigel from up in, which he's an affiliate, in ABC affiliate, I think, up in Chicago. At this time, they're telling him that detectives spent hours questioning Jesse and the alleged assault while investigators combed the area for surveillance footage, and they just can't find anything that supports this guy's story. Now, of course, nobody's saying that it didn't happen the way he's saying it did, and that's a terrible thing if that did happen to him. And I hope they catch those people if that, in fact, was the case, and I hope they pay a heavy price for doing that. But it's looking more and more like it's a fraud, and the media jumped all over it. And once those stories are out there, you can't get them back in the bottle. That's it. Even if they correct them and say that it didn't happen, it was, you know, if he was lying, that it was a lie or somebody else that attacked him and it wasn't what they thought it was. People don't. This is the problem with the fake news stuff that gets spread around. People tweet based on emotions and how they want it to go down. If it feeds their narrative that they're looking for, they push it out, but they don't really correct themselves when they need to. And it's mostly the fault of these journalists that just push out this crap just because they like how it feels, which is kind of icky in its own right, even if it's not the truth. But they, a gay black guy got beat up in Chicago by some Trump supporters. Oh, yeah. Like, they almost seem like they celebrate it because it proves what they're saying all along, and then it ends up not being the case. And they don't do their job. They don't investigate any of these things. They just put it out there and print it. And that's it. I mean, there's going to be some people, even now, who think that those kids in D.C. were taunting black Bible activists, as CNN called them, and was harassing a Native American fella. And that just objectively is not the truth. But it doesn't matter. And even when they say, the video footage comes out and everything, I saw stories coming out it still doesn't keep them from blame. They went on a Today show, and the lady asked the kid if he felt like standing his ground was aggressive. So there is definitely a narrative push out there. It's undeniable now at this point. I wouldn't trust anything you read anymore. You have to check multiple sources. If you really care about getting a story right, don't just go with the first thing you see search it out, try to find some articles on that lean left, try to find some that lean right, because usually the truth is in the middle if you really care about a story. And just take it at face value at this point, because they are in a race to, I don't know what they're trying. I feel like they think that everybody's a freedom fighter, like they're trying to save the union, you know, and even if it's by lying and it's not what happened, it doesn't matter as long as the end game is salvation. I feel like these people think that they're doing, you know, God's work, which is horrifying. I don't know. It every week it's something new. Something new comes up. And like clockwork, I'm dreading to see what's going to happen next week. So hopefully this guy, this actor is okay. And, you know, hopefully he's not a complete fraud. But it's looking that way. So, you know, if we'll see what happens next week, I suppose. 813-693-2124. I'm curious, what are your opinions on this type of stuff? Should the media be held accountable? Could people sue them? Should they be fired from their jobs if they just put stuff out that's maybe not true? I don't know. 813-693-2124. All right. Anyway, a little bit lighter news. The Florida State Fair. look at that transition. Completely professional. The Florida State Fair is here in a few weeks. It's always a good time, I guess, right? I haven't been in a very long time. I don't like crowds. I did Gasparilla last week. Couldn't stand it. Waited in line for the bathroom, half the parade, for a porta potty. That was the most disturbing thing I've ever witnessed in my life. The capacity that human beings have for just destruction and disgustingness, total revulsion in that bathroom. People who clean porta potties should be rich, 100%. They deserve every penny. Anyway, okay. So Florida State Fair is coming back. I haven't been in a long time, but one of the things about the fair that's pretty cool is the food. You always get like just the fattest ass food that there is, and you get these weird combos. First time I ever heard of a deep fried Oreo was at the Florida State Fair. Now that's just like a thing. Now there's like 5-star restaurants that will make their own twist on that. And it's delicious. Oh my God, it is so good. But this year, they always roll out new stuff. I don't know who's in charge of this, but that's got to be somebody's job, right? That is just like coming up with combos and making it the fair food person. So this year, all right, check it out. Giant mozzarella cheese stick. That's on the list. A full quarter pound of mozzarella cheese. Good luck having a bowel movement for the next 2 weeks, or the equivalent of 4 string cheese fingers that are impaled on a stick, deep fried, and served with marinara sauce or buttermilk ranch. Now it's going to be at Angela's Pizza. How about this one? This one sounds gross, but I think it looks really good in the picture. Red beans and rice funnel cake. Yes, instead of a familiar powdered sugar concoction, this funnel cake is made by using spices, then red beans and rice are mixed in the batter to turn this cake and fried to a savory golden brown. The best all-around concession stand. Then add smoked sausage, onions, peppers, and beans to the top to bring it all together. It looks really good. Really good. Grilled cheese 4 ways. The grilled cheese at Giddy Piggy got creative with grilled cheese this year, including a rainbow grilled cheese, a colorful blend of mozzarella, provolone, and gouda that are dyed to match the colors of the rainbow. That's weird. That's gross. Jalapeno popper grilled cheese. Now we're talking grilled cheese on Texas toast, stuffed full with jalapenos, bacon, and an assortment of cream cheese, provolone, and cheddar cheese. Yum. All right, how about this one? Caramelized onion and pulled pork. Pulled pork grilled with caramelized onions paired with sliced cheddar cheese. How about this? Taco grilled cheese. That's right, taco grilled cheese. Mexican-style cheese, taco melt, salsa, and shredded lettuce served with a sour cream side. Yum. How about this? And I've heard of this before. I don't know if this is super new. Cuban pizza. South Florida's Versalles Cuban restaurant made headlines earlier this year with the idea, and the pizza emporium at the fair is all in on it. Like a Cuban sandwich, it has Dijon mustard and mayonnaise base topped with a blend of mozzarella and Swiss cheese, roast pork, ham, and pickles. That's interesting. How about a black cherry burger from Carousel Foods, the inventors of the maniacally popular Krispy Kreme burger, comes a burger patty filled with cherries, basil, shallots, and garlic, topped with Gouda cheese, two slices of bacon, and a cherry orange relish on a bun. Yum. Barbecue pork rind nachos. That sounds good. Watching your carbs? Fear not. The Carousel Foods won't fail you with this low-carb wagon of these nachos made from pork rinds topped with barbecue pork, cheese, jalapenos, and tomatoes. Yum. Buffaloed mac and cheese quesadilla. This huge quesadilla from Brian's Concession is loaded with shredded buffalo chicken and queso mac and cheese, topped with a bacon and crushed up Doritos. You had me at crushed up Doritos, I'll tell you that much. And how about this? Potato bowls. Yes, everyone's favorite. Is potato, I know some people consider a potato a vegetable, and I think it sneaks in there somehow, but it's definitely not a thing. But you got Ma's Irish Kitchen has potatoes three ways, including the classic loaded potato bowl. Seasoned potatoes, crispy bacon, cheddar cheese, herbs, and sour cream. Yep, that sounds amazing. A green loaded potato bowl. Garlic and herb potatoes, seasonal vegetables, parsley, and pesto. Eh, I want the classic one. All right, but this one might be good. Spicy loaded potato bowl. Cajun potatoes, grilled chicken, bell peppers, spicy ranch dressing. Holy hell, that sounds amazing. Now, of course, the desserts, right? You know, you got the fried Oreo, stuff like that. How about this? You can just cooked dough. Yeah, you just get fried dough with sugar on it and stuff. The Bird's Nest Lock and Dam Eatery offers two large scallops wrapped with angel hair pasta, fried and topped with a lobster cream sauce. Italian nachos from the Lock and Dam Eatery. Pita chips are topped with shrimp, tomatoes, banana peppers, chives, and shrimp, all finished with a lobster cream sauce. That sounds amazing. Every year they outdo themselves. What's your favorite thing to eat at the fair? I think mine's just a corn dog. You get those big-ass corn dogs. They're like a foot long, and then you immediately just hate yourself and feel ill, and you got to walk it off. Sit down. They always have those foot massager things on the barrel. That's what I like to do. I feel really bad about myself. I sit down on a foot massager, put a quarter in, get it all jarred up, get my stomach, you know, moving around so it's ready to be released, and then I go stuff myself again because that's what the fair is all about. What's your favorite thing at the fair? 813-693-2124.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
All right, folks, I want to take a second and say thank you very much to our sponsors of HMB Radio and the Homemade Broadcast here. Thank you very much to Truvi Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Botox Lady is coming. Oh, yeah. And everybody's getting the needle. That's right. If you want it, she's not going to force it on you or anything, but you can make an appointment today at Truvi, is T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, Salon and Spa. The Botox Lady is there once a month, helping you get nice and clean. And while you're there, why don't you get a nice haircut? Treat yourself. When's the last time you've been wined and dined? You know, why not do it yourself if you're lonely and don't have anybody to take care of you and do nice things for you? You got to be nice to yourself, you know? So why not get a haircut, get your nails done, go see Chrissy and Truvi Salon Spa. They'll take care of you. They'll make you feel like a queen. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, TruviSalonAndSpa.com. And NTT Fitness. NTT Fitness is back. It's helping me get my big butt in gear. They're helping me out by they're preparing food for me because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to. I mean, I know I got to eat lettuce pretty much. That's the deal. If you're not eating lettuce, it's not good for you. Apparently, that's not true because NTT Fitness drops off dinners for me weekly now, and they hook me up with. It really is good, too. I'm not kidding. And I was nervous because it says the calorie count on there. These meals are like 400, around like 450 calories. And I was like, uh-oh, that's not going to be enough. I'm going to have to eat two of these things. It's not, hasn't been the case. I have one of those meals for dinner and I'm good the rest of the night. And it's complete nutrition. I think that's why you don't get hungry later because it just gives your body, you know, what it needs, and you don't have to eat a bunch of crap, pretty much. So you're good to go. You know, you can meal prep. Yeah, I know you can meal prep yourself. Probably you know what you're doing, but why not enjoy your Sunday? Get your Sundays back. Let NTT Fitness do the cooking for you. They'll drop it off at your door. Use Level Up 15 at checkup to get 15% off your first order, and visit them at nttfitness.com. And finally, Homemade Podcast. Homemade Podcast is a podcast and media consulting company. I can speak highly of it because it's my company. Yes. So if you're interested in podcasting, don't know how to start, you got questions about, you know, equipment, hardware, software, RSS feeds, I know how to do this stuff because I'm speaking to you through the medium currently. So get at me at homemadepodcast.com. Let's work together. Or if you're interested in sponsoring this show, I'd also really like that quite a bit. Visit me at hmbradio.com. Click the contact page or call the HMB radio line, 813-693-2124. I don't know how I messed that up. I say it at least 100 times a show.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
Stay Woke is a radio program heard locally here every weeknight at midnight after the Johnny B Show on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. Always available at TheBoneOnline.com, or you can download the Bone app. Just search 102.5 The Bone in your Google or iTunes stores and download the app. You can get Stay Woke on demand. It runs in a loop 24 hours a day, the previous show, so you can catch it if you sleep like a normal person. But it is a radio program that I co-host with Anna Hummel, and we just talk about stuff, man. Just hang out and talk about stuff. For some reason, this week we got sucked into this Ted Bundy documentary on Netflix, and then other true crime documentaries that we had watched this previous week. The Ted Bundy thing kind of has a local connection because he was executed in Florida in like 1989 or something. So we talked a little bit about serial killers and what they do and how weird it is.
Zac Efron.
Yeah.
I wanted to play this trailer because it was pretty good. I watched it today at the other job. But he's playing Ted Bundy in a movie, and people are not happy about this. Now, I'm an idiot, so I have often confused Ted Bundy and Charles Manson. Like, those two names, I know they're both, one is a cult and one is a serial killer.
Yes.
But
yeah.
To me, there was a lot of like cross-sectionality between them. So today, I read the entire Wikipedia page of Ted Bundy. I know basically everything about that man now.
Yeah. Did you watch the documentary on Netflix?
No, it was on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay,
if you read the whole
sense.
Thing today, you would actually really enjoy the documentary on Netflix.
Okay,
yeah.
Have you seen it?
It's like three parts. I have. Yeah, it's what I spent my Sunday.
Oh, all right.
Nice,
yeah,
rainy.
It's pretty good?
Yeah, it's great.
Now, it's getting a lot of backlash from people because people are romanticizing Ted Bundy, who is
right.
played by Zac Efron, who is a very, very hot man. He's considered one of the hottest guys in Hollywood.
Very handsome.
And people are saying that he's really hot and maybe even too hot to be playing Ted Bundy. And people are really upset about this, and I don't understand why. Like, Ted Bundy was a monster. He was sociopathic. What did he kill, like over 50 women?
Something like that.
30
yeah.
to 50
At
women.
At least 30, yeah.
Yeah, I know that he was executed in 1989, I want to say, in Florida.
He was, yes.
Right?
I vaguely remember that as a young, very, very young boy at this time. But I remember him being some sort of buzz. I was probably like 4 at
okay.
that point. But I do remember something with him being executed. Yeah, and it was right here in Florida, yes.
I did recall reading that. I also watched on YouTube his very last live interview. And it was chilling to me. I find intelligent criminals fascinating and terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
When they're idiots, like, not to say I watched one episode of Making a Murder. I didn't like it. I thought it was very slow.
That's
moving.
The one with the
Stephen Avery.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
like
I
idiots.
Didn't watch that
they
either,
yeah. yeah, it's like the guy has an IQ of like 7, whatever it may be. Those ones are like, oh, this little, like, the schmuck killed somebody, and it's unfortunate. But when it's Ted Bundy, and what he did was so calculated, and I think he went to, like, several different law schools, right? Like, he was in and out of law school.
He wanted to go to law school. I don't know if he ever actually got in.
He did go. I don't know if he ever completed it, but he was working with, like, the Republican National Convention, and I'm pretty sure he was like some big guy's assistant, whatever it was. I remember reading it all on Wikipedia earlier today. But his last interview, he is so articulate, and he's basically blaming pornography for the problems that he had. And he said that if you look at any of the violent killers in prison, they all have a common denominator that they had some sort of issue or obsession with pornography. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was into watching like violent porn. And he said like at some point it just wasn't enough anymore. He needed the real thing. Mm-hmm. And that, he said, was the driving motivation for him to start killing people. Now, this guy was a sicko. Obviously, you kill people, there's something not right with you. But he took it like extra levels of like, what the effery? You know, I know that he raped and killed people, but then he would often visit the corpses and have sex with them until they were so decomposed that he couldn't. Yeah. I heard that he would go back to the corpses and like do their hair and makeup. Like, it just really, yikes, heebie-jeebie stuff. I don't know why I find that not more offensive, but it's just very bizarre. It's just very strange. It's gross.
Yeah, the definition of, what's the difference between psychopathic and sociopathic?
So glad you asked, because I also looked that up today at work. Okay. I think psychopathology is more severe. Both sociopaths, and again, these are not clinical terms. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to the doctor, they're not going to say, you're a sociopath or you're a psychopath. They say you have, like, antisocial personality disorder or something like that, or bipolar. You know, that's not a clinical definition, but the difference is that sociopaths have, like, a conscience. Like, they know what they're doing is wrong, but it's not a loud enough voice to inhibit them from committing horrible atrocities, whereas psychopaths just don't have that at all.
Okay, so he was a definite psychopath,
Mm-hmm. I would say so. Mm-hmm. Or if he did have a conscience, it just didn't stop him from doing, which is weird because they know that it's wrong, but it's only because they're imitating what society or how other people react to the situation, if that makes sense.
Right.
And that's what Ted Bundy was really good at, is that he could kind of like feign sincerity and stuff like that. And apparently he was like he was a good looking guy. It mm-hmm. said that
handsome
he was
guy, yeah.
charming, charismatic. And that's often, I guess, I mean, I know in some situations he did kind of lure women in, but in others he just like, I heard like at a sorority at FSU, he just like went in and like in the house and just killed two girls. Like,
yeah,
right, those were the
tree
last
branch,
two.
I think.
Oh my
yeah.
God. Just
yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
horrendous
yeah,
stuff.
But awful.
Just very intriguing. Very intriguing, man.
It seems to be that, and serial killers in general, I think they have a higher IQ, so they're a little bit harder to track. You know, it's not like Stephen Avery where they just like stab somebody and then leave the knife next to him. You know, they kind of cover up their evidence a little bit. They are charming. There's this documentary I watched tonight, actually. Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yeah, Johnny mentioned that.
Yeah, it came up with after I watched the Ted Bundy thing. It was this man who was just a complete lunatic who kidnapped this person's daughter or this family's daughter twice, and they let him back in their lives after the first time. And it was completely insane how they did it. He's super manipulative. But he must have been smart in order to make this happen.
Or would you say that the victims were just not? Or the over-trustworthy, trusting people sort of thing?
They probably were. They were Mormons. They were not. Right. But he manipulated, like, there was a part where he not only, so this guy was infatuated with this young daughter.
Okay.
Right? He was a pedophile. But in order to get to the daughter, what he did was he went after not only the mother, so he went after, flirted with the mother, had some sort of affair with the mother.
Really?
Went after the father and also had an affair with the father.
Yeah, the father did not identify as gay or anything.
I guess
he's making
not.
People switch,
I mean,
teams.
Look, this is the late 60s, early 70s. I don't think
free
they,
love, but
they,
he's they're Mormon. You said, but
they're
repressed,
Mormon, right? And they are repressed. Yeah, and he kind of gave off that vibe a little bit, like he might be, and was just kind of holding it in, but
yeah.
maybe not. I don't know. But the story he gave was, and it seemed like it was too easy. I don't know anybody that I could go. So the story was. So he goes, the father says, he goes, hey, let's go for a drive. And he goes, okay. Hops in the car, they go for a drive, and they go to this remote area. And the father says, he says to me, I don't like my wife. I'm very sexually repressed. Do you mind helping me out a little bit? And the father goes, I don't know. He goes, oh, come on. It's just like, it's no big deal. It's like we're kids again. Don't even worry about it.
Kids again? Like that's what he did when he was a kid?
I guess. All right. Yeah, yeah.
That's the line, dude.
It's just kid stuff. He said, it's just kid stuff. No big deal. So he, used his hand on this guy who ended up kidnapping his daughter earlier. And he used that as blackmail. He took his daughter to Mexico pretty much after. So he said, look, I'm going to air the dirty laundry, you know, that you're gay and that I hooked up with your wife, too, to the community. If you don't drop these charges, he took the daughter to Mexico and married her because you can marry, I guess, children at 12 down in Mexico. Down there, yeah. And they were just like, okay. And they signed over the document. Like, we let her take her. Yeah. It was totally bonkers and insane. I could not believe this happened.
It reminds me of kind of the Largo situation. You know, I mean, they prey on certain people that they know that can fall victim to this sort of thing.
Okay, but Largo was another case. Largo was, he was a dummy. You know, like clinically, I think, probably. These people didn't seem like they were clinically stupid. They were just maybe a little naive, maybe very trusting, but average IQ.
Intelligence?
Yeah. You're not going to like pull a super fast one. This guy was just super manipulative. Mm. He had a gift. And that's what these serial killers and predators all have in common. It seems like Charles Manson, probably super high IQ, I would imagine.
That's when it gets scary, man. And the fact that they don't feel the emotions themselves. They don't feel remorse. They often don't feel guilt. They've scored very low on conscientiousness. Like they can't put themselves. They lack the ability to put themselves in somebody else's shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe they go like, I don't want to feel pain, but like I don't care if anybody else wants to feel pain. And if I hear them screaming and crying, like that won't affect me emotionally.
But doesn't it make them feel when other people feel? Is that the deal?
No, they lack empathy. They don't have it, or it's very.
But they can't
muted.
Experience it themselves. But when they witness other people, isn't that part of the? I thought that was part of the deal that they can feel. It maybe when other people are going through it.
No, not at all. Or if they do, they get off on it or something. They don't feel sorry for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Not necessarily feel sorry, but just getting some sort of inkling of what it feels like.
I don't know. Maybe it's some sort of like sadistic sort of thing where I feel like obviously a lot of it is sexually motivated. Mm-hmm. So they like hurting people, and there's some sort of like the wires are crossed where they get off on hearing people scream and cry and murdering, et cetera, et cetera. Just really, really awful stuff. But the fact that they lack those emotions, but they can feign those emotions, they can mimic, they can see how other people would respond in situations in real life. So they fool everybody because you think, oh, this guy's very charismatic, nice, charming. Oh, yeah, of course, you go first, you know, whatever, they're courteous. They're not, like, openly mean and openly rude and uncouth. And, you know, you'd think that they would have violent tendencies out in public. They don't.
Right.
It's all just very private, which is even more scary. You're on Stay Woke. Who's this?
This is Will.
What's up, Will?
What's up, dog?
Hey, yeah, you're talking about different serial killers and stuff. Well, when I was a kid back in the 90s, growing up, I actually caught this guy named Tommy Lynn Sells right down the road, about 2 miles down the road from where I live.
Uh-huh.
And he apparently had been going across the country for over 20 years, just killing people all over the country.
Was this the guy that was just found in Houston, like, a couple months ago?
No, this was quite a few years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was caught just a couple miles down the road. He actually came into my family's shop and applied for a job at one point.
Oh, God.
And my grandparents, the owners who ran the place at the time, thought he was kind of something was off about him and wouldn't give him a job. And I ended up cutting the throats of these two little girls that I used to ride the bus with. Oh. One of them died, and the other one survived and had to sit there and pretend like she was dead so long enough for him to leave and so she could get away and had to run to the neighbors. She couldn't talk, and she had to write everything out that was going on. It was a whole crazy story.
Was this locally here in Tampa Bay?
No, this was out in Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his name was Tommy Lintel. It was a crazy, crazy thing.
Wow. Yeah, same with like Jeffrey Dahmer. I was watching, because then you go down the rabbit hole with YouTube. So then I was watching Jeffrey Dahmer videos, and I was watching this video of the two youngest female women that are both on death row.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just absolutely mind-boggling because they were guilty by association, and both the men that they committed crimes with got life in prison, but they both got death row sentences. So that was really interesting as well. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good night.
You too.
You know what the thing with Jeffrey Dahmer, too, which I've always found interesting, is when he gave interviews and he would talk about he lived in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Which was, and he lived in a black community. So he, a lot of his victims were
black men, right?
Black men.
Okay.
Right. And I remember
and
him.
He would eat them? Was that the thing?
Yeah, he was a cannibal.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
But I remember him saying, like, look, I don't want you to get the wrong idea here. I didn't kill them because they were black. Just so, he didn't want to be he didn't want to be considered racist.
Oh, my God.
He's just like, that was just what was available to me. That was his thing. I remember that sticking out to me, like, holy hell.
So
even
he has some
even
sort
serial
of like,
killers were afraid of being, being called racist.
That's really interesting.
It's bizarre.
Like, he had some sort of, like, weird moral code there.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Like, I'm not a racist, but I do, you know, rape, kill, and eat people.
Yes.
Sicko.
All right, there we go. Stay woke. Midnight's 102.5 The Bone. Download the app. Download the HMB Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. HMB Radio, all one word, Tampa Bay. Click the subscribe button. Give it a 5-star rating. Only takes a second. Super duper helps me out. So I appreciate you being so kind to do so. And that will conclude the Homemade Broadcast this week. I thank you very much for tuning in. DM me on Instagram and Twitter at @home_made_man. Send me your address and let me send you some HMB Radio goodies. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit after that. If you're listening on podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Please tell a friend about it if you enjoy it. Tell them to download it and subscribe and rate it and all that stuff. Oh, you're the best. I just love you so much. I hope you have a great week. I hope you're kind to each other. I hope you don't make up any fake hate crimes. And I hope you're just a nice person. My name is Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. And I will talk to you next week. Farewell. Goodbye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.